When the Lord Krishna appears in this world, he does not appear alone, but rather Krishna is always surrounded by many loving devotees. That is one of his qualities. In this way, Lord Krishna, when he is so kindly performing his eternal pastimes in this world, Lord Krishna's transcendental abode is also manifesting in that time. Krishna does not appear in an ordinary place. Krishna is not appearing just in any other street or in any district or in a particular country. Krishna appears in his transcendental abode, Sri Vrindavan. That abode of Krishna is eternal. And the amazing thing is that the transcendental abode of Krishna is also manifesting here in the material world. It is there that Krishna performs his transcendental pastimes. Many of the associates, the intimate associates of Krishna, are appearing in this world along with him, also descending from the spiritual world. Descending from the spiritual world to, together with Krishna, distribute the transcendental mercy of devotional service. Many personalities come again and again. Also, after Krishna moves on to another destination, leaving this universe and continuing his pastimes elsewhere, still, the pure devotees are still appearing within this universe, generation after generation. It is therefore that there are always such enlightened souls within the world, those who carry the grace of Krishna. Some of these souls are actually descending from the spiritual world and come to this world. Come to this world to fulfill the desire of Krishna and bestow the mercy of unconditioned souls. Others are conditioned souls, but coming into contact with great and elevated devotees are lifted up above material existence and are also becoming transcendentally situated. In this way, we have different categories of perfect devotees. The Nicha Siddha devotees who are descending from the spiritual world, the Sadhana Siddha devotees who, by their practice in devotional service, attain perfection. And then sometimes also Kripa Siddha devotees, an exceptional case, very special mercy of the Lord, and attain Siddha perfection by mercy. It is for that reason that we must always follow the Vaishnavas. It is for that reason that we are always looking to follow a perfect Vaishnava. Because the Vaishnavas carefully preserve devotional service and carefully preserve love for Krishna on different levels. The qualities of the intermediate devotees, the ones who are spiritually advanced, but maybe not completely to the stage of perfection, are described as Isvara Tadadine Su Mali Se Sutisat Sucha. premamaiti kripupeksha yakaruti samanajama. It is said for such devotees in the intermediate state, they, for the Lord, they have prema, the seed of prema. Not the same as that prema or love that is found in the topmost devotees. The love in the topmost devotees, Parthasarathi Maharaj described, then going through various stages of development, sneha, the melting of the heart. I'm thinking how devotees gradually become soft-hearted. How in this world everyone is hard-hearted because everyone is concerned with his own selfish interests. But as a devotee is putting his own selfish concerns aside and self-interest aside, then the gradual melting of the heart is taking place. Then such a devotee who is only interested in pleasing Krishna and being an instrument of Krishna, such a devotee will very quickly advance in spiritual life. And such a devotee in due course of time will become prema rurukshu, or one who is approaching pure love of God. Pure love of God is very rare. It is sudurlabha. It is rarely attained. That pure love of God is of a unique nature, because it is Sri Krishna Akarsani. It attracts Krishna. That is, we attract so many things, but can we attract Krishna? That is a very not a simple thing. Maybe some mercy of Krishna we can attract. Krishna is kind. Therefore, anyone who is performing some service will attract some mercy of Krishna. But to attract Krishna in person, that is not for ordinary men. Therefore, us ordinary souls, we cannot see Krishna. We can even doubt, does he really exist? How do you know? Simply because we are concerned with our own satisfaction. The eternally liberated souls are all such instruments of Krishna. They are all simply dedicating their life to spreading the mercy of Krishna into this world. Srimati Radharani is also known, as we heard, as the feminine counterpart of Lord Krishna. And therefore, it is described that she is very soft-hearted. And being very soft-hearted, she is by nature very much compassionate and inclined to bestow mercy. So that is our good fortune. And we are praying like that. That although our service is meager, although we are not making a very impressive offering, that still we hope that she will recognize. That she will recognize that service. And then that she will pray on our behalf to Krishna. It is like that. Just as at the time of initiation, the spiritual master is giving us the Mahamantra, but one might just say, it's like a birthday where you're getting a gift, and when you open it up, you say, I already got that. You try to hide your disappointment. Now at the time of initiation, We are receiving the Maha Mantra. I already got that. Yeah, when it first came to the temple, it came to me long ago. Gosh, man, I thought I'd get something new, and now I'm getting that same old Maha Mantra. But along with the Maha Mantra that we are receiving from the spiritual master, we're also receiving the prayer of the spiritual master. That prayer, that makes all the difference. Because what will our broken names do? We are offering Krishna a few broken names. What result can we expect? Broken names equals broken results. So that's about all we can expect. But then, with the added prayer of our spiritual master, then the effect of that chanting will increase many times, because it will attract the mercy of Krishna. Our spiritual master is faithfully praying, praying to the Parampara, as we heard, and back up to Srimati Bhagavani, who also manifests as Sri Chaitanya. In that way, the mercy is attained. That we understand. Then one might come to that stage of approaching praying over Rurukshu, not just the beginning, sprouting love that is also there in us. Today is certainly an inspiring day, and it started early in the morning. Many came for Mangalarti, and there was a lot of enthusiasm, and it continued throughout the day. So many people were here. They were attracted, and they loved the day and the festival, the kirtan, the discussions, everything. It touched the heart. Yes, this is a seed of the same love that is developing, but now in an immature state. And therefore not very deep. But when that love is growing deeper, when one becomes actually praying on Ruksha, approaching prayer, then the melting of the heart begins to take such dimensions that it is just inconceivable. When we spoke about Sneha and the melting of the heart, I remembered Prem Sarovar at the site of Govardhan, of Giri Govardhan. There are many kunds, many holy waters that all are very significant. And one of these kunds that is of great significance is Prem Sarovar. It is said that once there, in that location, Radha and Krishna met. And it was then that Srimati Radharani was overwhelmed with feelings of love for Krishna. And the melting of her heart was at that time taking place. It is also described that at that time a bumblebee came, and that this bumblebee began to circumambulate the divine couple and fly around them in circles. A big bumblebee. Around and around. So Srimati Radharani, whose head was covered with a veil, was trying to chase that bumblebee away, but to no avail. It was then Manu Mangal, who was also present, who saw what was transpiring, and who came forward with a stick and made a major attack, so much so that the bumblebee decided to retreat. It is said that bumblebee was actually a devotee. a devotee of Krishna. And that this bumblebee was the king of the bees and went at that time, returned to the bees to tell them everything. Tell them how he had a close-up darshan of the divine couple. How deep the expressions of love were. And the bumblebee was speaking in great ecstasy. And all the bees were also in ecstasy. After all, the bees were all devotees because they were accepting Krishna as the bee god. After all, he was wearing a yellow dhoti just like they did. He had a black body. And he was into music as well, just as they were. So, in this way, the bees were all in ecstasy. So are the bees in Vrindavan. When they are buzzing, they're actually glorifying Krishna. Meanwhile, Srimati Radharani was informed by Madhu Mangal, who came back after chasing away that bee. And Madhu Mangal called out, "I got rid of that Madhusudan," which translates as Madhu is a word for bee, and Madhusudan could be translated as the killer bee. So I disposed of that killer bee, he tried to say. But Radharani took it differently. I got rid of that Madhusudan, which is another name of Krishna. Therefore she thought that Krishna had left her company right at that moment. And immediately, tears began to flow. Her heart was melting to such an extent that a stream of tears began to flow. And when Krishna saw that, when he saw that she became so overwhelmed, he also cried tears. And also the stream came from his eyes. And those two streams joined it and made that pond Prem Sarovar, which is now a place where we can go and take bath, which is not bad, I would say. Yes. So in this way, you can see that wherever in this world, there were great manifestations of the love of Radha and Krishna. Was it an extraordinary experience for those who were present, but there actually that entire place became transformed. There that entire place became transformed. Wherever, in various places in Vrindavan, we find that Radha and Krishna had great exchanges of love, and within these places, in all these places, very important and powerful mercy became available. Just as we are also reading about the appearance of Radha Kund. It is said that Radha Kund is the most sacred space in the entire universe. Because it is said it is made of liquid prem. It is made of pure liquid love. The love of Radha and Krishna. Who perform many pastimes on the banks of these sacred waters. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a little bit of an anecdote given by Krishna's Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And I wanted to just read that and maybe highlight it a little bit here and there. Basically, what is going on was that Krishna at one point killed this demon that appeared in the form of a bull, namely Aristasura. This bull, of course, was a demoniac personality who had taken that form and came to kill the residents of Vrindavan, and Krishna killed him. So then, the innocent young gopi said, "Ah, Krishna, don't touch us now, O killer of a bull. Alas, even though Arista was a terrible demon, still he was a male cow, so you will have to undergo atonement, just as Lord Indra did after killing Vrijasura. But how can you purify yourself without going to the trouble of visiting every single holy place in the three worlds?" Krishna replied, "Why should I have to wander throughout the entire universe? I will at once bring all the countless pilgrimage places here and take my bath in them. Just watch." With this, Lord Rukunda struck his heel on the ground. Then he said, "This is the water of the Bhogavati River coming from the Patala region. And now, O holy places, all of you, please come here." When the Supreme Lord had spoken these words, all the holy places went there and appeared before him. Krishna then addressed the gopis as follows. "See all the holy places," the gopis replied. "We don't see them as you describe." Then those best of holy places, joining their palms in supplication, spoke up. "I am the salt ocean. I am the ocean of milk. I am the Amartirgika. I am the river Samana. I am the Sindhu. I am the Tamrabhani. I am the holy place Pushkar. I am the river Saraswati. And we are the Godavari, Yamuna, and the Raipur rivers, and the confluence of rivers in Prayag. Just see our waters." After purifying himself by bathing, Lord Hari became quite arrogant and said, "I have produced a pond containing all the various holy places, whereas you, gopis, must never have executed any religious duties on this earth for the pleasure of Lord Rama." Then Srimati Radharani addressed her girlfriends as follows. "I must create an even more beautiful pond, so go to work." Having heard these words, the gopi saw that Aristasura's hooves had dug a shallow ditch just west of Sri Krishna's pond. At that nearby spot, all the gopis began digging up lumps of salty mud with their hands, and in this way, a divine pond manifested in the short span of an hour. Krishna was astonished to see the lake they produced. Then the gopis wanted to fill that water by making a human chain to Manasi Ganga and fill it with buckets. But Krishna was thinking, this will take too long. So he ordered all the holy waters to volunteer and enter into that covenant. So we have in Vrindavan, Shama Kund and Radha Kund, the Kund of Krishna and the Kund of Srimati Radharani. All such places are arrangement of the Supreme Lord to make his mercy widely available, to manifest all this within the universe, these eternal places that exist in the spiritual world, to manifest them here in the universe, even accessible, at least to a degree, to conditioned souls like we are. That is just extraordinary. That is just the inconceivable mercy of the Lord. So we have the opportunity to connect through, as Parthasarathi Maharaj really stressed, through the representatives, through the representatives of Radha and Krishna. It is Radharani who pleases Krishna. And more than anyone, no one can please Krishna as she can. Therefore, we are serving the servants of the servants, who are all pleasing Krishna more than we can. And they, in turn, are serving their worshipable devotees and all of us. are serving the topmost devotee, Srimati Bhagavan. In this way, we are getting a great opportunity. But who has a taste for such things in this modern world? Too busy, too many things going on. Facebook, phones, so many important things. And how do we find time for such deeper spiritual sentiments? Too busy buying things, too busy playing, too busy, always too busy with mundane things. Therefore, who in this world can take up such service? Service to Srimati Radharani and service to the pure devotees that have dedicated their lives to Srimati Radharani. That is only possible in this modern world by special mercy. Who is qualified for something like that? Is any of us qualified to understand the pastimes that exist between Radha and Krishna? No. But if we are qualified at all to be here today on Radhastami, then we should understand that it is only so because, first of all, of the prayer of a pure devotee, then second of all, because of the hard labor of a pure devotee who somehow or other gave his whole life and dedicated all his energy to somehow or other bring this transcendental knowledge to us here today. And so our Bhartasarathi Maharaj began this presentation by reading from Srila Prabhupada's explanations, saying, how can we say anything? Better we be on safe ground, repeating the words of the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, because in that way we will not make any mistake, because the pure devotional service of Srimati Radharani is of such an exalted nature. So this temple here in Chatsworth is very much graced by Srila Prabhupada, who desired it to be constructed here, and then graced by the presence of Sri Sri Radharamanath, who are very merciful to us, because in their forms Radha and Krishna are with us and accessible to us in a form where we can serve them directly. Anyone can render some service to Sri Sri Radharamanath. Anyone can bring a gift. Anyone can clean the temple of Sri Sri Radharamanath. Anyone can make a contribution. And that is all possible because the great pure devotees of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, such as Srila Prabhupada, are making this mercy available. So we are very pleased that all of you are here. I thank Bhartasarathi Maharaj for giving us a very concentrated overview of levels of spiritual advancement, and then explaining how far we are removed from Srimati Radharani, but by serving the servant of the servant, Kopi Bhartipada Kamaliya, Dasana Dasana Das, as Srila Prabhupada quoted in that purport, we can also serve. By being a servant, 100 times removed, 1,000 times removed, but faithfully serving a Vaishnava, an advanced Vaishnava, then we'll also also become eligible to be accepted in these eternal pastimes of Radha Krishna. That is the purpose of this temple. This temple is not at all a temple where we simply gather for some religious function. This is a temple dedicated to pure devotion. And this particular day is the day when we focus on that topic more than any other day in the year. Today, the spotlight is on the spotless pure devotional service of the greatest pure devotee, Srimati Radharani, who can please Krishna and no one can. Let us all go forward and also try to become pure devotees of the Lord. Thank you very much.